Yeah, my mom bought this ring light because she was tired of watching the video podcasts and not being able to see my face. But she did say it came with a contingency that she got to use the podcast equipment and would record in a new series with Parker's mom, AJ's mom, and
Oh my
herself,
gosh,
and
that is
call it the
amazing.
Mothers of Sim Racing podcast.
I love that.
That's such a good idea.
That's a great concept. I thought you were just going to be a TikTok influencer. I got it. Yeah, you
No,
can do like
but
the cool like the dude who like puts the ring thing over his head and then like he has a mask on and then like he does another cool thing with it and it's a different mask.
I can do like super orange, or I could go super white.
Oh wow.
So
Super blue, super white.
super
Cool.
blue, super white, super
Well,
max.
here we are. You guys want to get started?
Yeah, take it away,
Yeah.
Parker.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Unnamed Eraser Podcast. I'm your host, Parker Kligerman. Obviously, I'm not Parker Kligerman. Just kidding. Parker is gone. I am the fill-in guest host, first time ever hosting a podcast, Garrett Smithley, driver of the number 15 Ford Mustang for Rick Ware Racing in the NASCAR Cup Series, alongside a man who is next in line for F1 race control, Josh Mendoza. And of course, we can't forget AJ Henderson, a man that is faster than me in an LMP2 car at Daytona on iRacing with a controller, the pride of Ohio. How's it going, guys?
Good.
It's going great.
That was
Do we
good.
want to
How
do we
was that?
want
Was
to do
that okay?
the That was great. Do we want to do the intro sound?
We
Do
can,
it. I don't have to do
if you
that,
want.
right? Because I don't
No,
know how to do
I can
it.
do that.
We should make lyrics for the intro song. That was pretty good, Garrett.
I was impressed, Garrett.
Yeah. I said we just replace
Going,
Parker permanently.
around the track as fast as possible for $100,000. There you go.
Eraser.
A hundred thousand dollars?
Well, that's about as much money as Eraser has put up. I think we're at $99,900 or something like that. Or somewhere in the $99,000 is how
Really?
much money Eraser has put up for grabs over the
Oh, that
course
is
of its
true, yeah.
four or five events. So.
Okay, but the real question is, when are we going to get to $1 million?
Well,
Yeah, Josh, when are we
at
going to?
race around based on current numbers, around race 50.
That's
So.
Josh's job. He's the financial guy, so.
Yeah, I
Listen,
no.
as I have said before in this intro that I so I guess on the top of my head came up with, I've never hosted a podcast before, so we're gonna learn together. Hopefully it's all good. Obviously Parker is not here. Where is Parker? I don't even know. I got a call from Josh saying, hey, you want to be on the podcast? Oh, by the way, you're gonna be the host. So here we are.
He is, where is Parker at right now? I'm pretty sure he
I think he's
is,
traveling to somewhere.
yeah, he's traveling to Bahrain. He's filling in for Daniel Ricciardo in the McLaren F1 car.
Nah, Daniel's back.
Oh, he is? Oh, somebody
Yes.
call Parker. he's probably on a
Next.
plane right
He's got to divert his flight. Just kidding, Parker. We don't need you.
Parker has a
Oh.
pretty busy week this week. He's heading out to, I think he said he's leaving at 4 a.m. tomorrow to go to Sebring, so to go to the
Oh,
airport.
so
So,
he's not doing trucks this week at Atlanta. He's doing Sebring.
yeah, I think he's doing IMSA reporting.
Gotcha.
So, cool.
His next truck start
Or
is going to
maybe,
be at COTA.
he's driving at Sebring. He just hasn't told anybody yet. Who knows?
He's
But
going to
pretty sure
drive
it's NBC.
in his 75 Food Country USA truck to Sebring.
Oh.
In the 12 hour.
Perfect.
I've actually
So.
we've I was I well, it wasn't me, it was my brother. I was there filming it, but we pitted a stock truck. I want to say stock car, but it was a truck, and it was a truck body. It was a Chevrolet for a 25-hour race in Thunder Hill before.
Nice.
It was
Wow.
the Coldcock Whiskey Chevrolet truck. So Chevrolet
Interesting.
Silverado.
A staple in motorsports, that truck. I know
Mm-hmm.
very well.
It had a light bar and everything on it. It was actually kind of cool to see what an endurance stock truck would look like. So
I
that is
know
pretty
this is a
cool.
topic for a completely different time, but I still think that it would be so cool to see a stock car class at the 24 Hours of Daytona. I think that would just be really cool.
That'd be sick.
I agree.
Especially with the next gen now would be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
With the rear view camera and everything. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Well, let's get
speaking of the next gen.
Yeah, let's get going.
You've driven one the past 3 weeks, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Last 3 weeks did the entire West Coast swing. I am finally back from the West Coast swing, which it feels good. I left on the 23rd of February. And so I was out there for almost a month. Had a really great time. Did a lot of cool stuff with Rick Ware Racing. We went to 4 different military base visits with our sponsor, Nertech ODT. And then obviously I got to race at Fontana and Vegas and Phoenix. So I think I had the good fortune of being on your podcast. And then right afterwards, I had my career best finish at Fontana. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the kudos for that, for the good luck. I think, I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was three really good, solid weeks of racing. Me personally, I enjoyed the car. I think I probably would have enjoyed the car more had we had more inventory back at the shop. We basically, for the first 2 weeks, we were on just absolute ride mode. Like, you know, our Fontana car was our Martinsville or our Vegas car. So we absolutely had to get to Vegas and get through Fontana. First laps on the track were absolutely insane. I was in Group B and sat there and watched, like, you know, three or four really, really seasoned guys spin out, get the wall. And I was
my goodness.
What,
yeah.
What have I got myself into? Like, what is going to happen? But it ended up being really good. You know, ended up finishing 21st there. Vegas was a little bit more tough for us. We had a steering issue that, that we're going to diagnose here in the next few weeks. Just growing pains, and but you know, again, finished. I think we finished 30th there, so really wasn't too terrible. And then Phoenix, I think we had a pretty good car, kind of missed it in practice and qualifying, and made wholesale changes, got in the race, picked up quite a bit. But then we had this weird brake shake issue that I think could either be attested to the brakes being too hot or actually potentially being too cold, which I think Cody found out. So there's some different things there that we're going to try out moving forward for not only for short tracks, but for road courses. So all in all, learned a ton and had a blast doing it. You know, coming home, you know, 21st, 30th and 32nd with cars all in one piece. We met our goals, and I think we were a little bit disappointed in the last two races, but I think we definitely have something to build off of for sure.
I'd agree. I mean, was the Phoenix car, was that by any chance the same one that Ryan Preece drove at the Coliseum?
No, actually, the California and the Vegas car was his Clash car.
Interesting.
My Phoenix car was David Reagan's Daytona 500 car, which of course they had to fix, but did a great job. And I think that's something that's really cool to see these first few weeks, is we've seen teams, you know, such as you know, Kevin Harvick's team at Fontana fix that thing, you know, completely trunk the car. Otherwise would have pulled up out a backup car, and that car probably wouldn't have ran for another 2 to 3 weeks. They ran it that next week, and he ran inside the top 10. Kyle Busch taking a parts car and, you know, wrecking in practice, having no qualifying, and leading the race, having a really, really legitimate shot to win. So I think that it's a really cool kind of dynamic with this new car, and it's going to be interesting to watch throughout the season.
Yeah, that'll be really, because like over the years with the, you know, like, the chassis before, like a chassis would have like, I remember the truck series, there's a chassis called the Honey Badger that I think either Thor Spore or maybe it was Red Horse used, and it was like they won a bunch of races with it and it was infamous. And I'm interested to see with the next gen. I mean, obviously I guess they're more the same to each other, but because they're bought, but I wonder if there's gonna be like, hey, oh, this is A1, this is our chassis. It's 6 years old. It's been great. It's won a bunch of races. I wonder if there's going to be anything like that, or if it'll be.
Yeah, that's a good kind of point to bring up. I think we're going to kind of see some of that, those dynamics throughout the season and honestly, like throughout the years. I mean, this is so new to everybody. I mean, you know, we ran the same chassis for forever, it feels like. So, you know, same parts, same pieces. You know, we had chassis in our inventory that were, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old. And who knows what the pedigree on those were. You know, they were, you know, cut apart, put back together. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see where everything goes. And obviously, the more and more laps we get, the more and more time that these teams, you know, have to work on these things, they're going to start figuring it out.
Yeah. Did any of you guys watch the ARCA race? I wasn't able to see it.
But I did not. I only watched the end of it just on highlights, so I didn't get a chance to.
I heard it was pretty entertaining. It was the largest ARCA race entry list since 2013 that wasn't a super speedway.
Really? Wow. 39 cars or something like that?
They had a lot of cars. I thought it was 40, but I could be wrong. I didn't get to see the race myself. I was running around like a goose with, or a chicken with its head cut off this whole weekend doing a bunch of stuff. So I barely got to watch as much racing as I wanted to. The one thing that did catch my eye, not to jump the Xfinity race, but was the fact that over the last three races, Trackhouse has performed at a level beyond what we thought. I think anyone thought that they were going to be able to pull off within the first couple of races of the season, literally contending for wins 3 weeks in a row, I would say. Daniel Suarez was leading at Auto Club with one lap or two laps to go, and Ross was led the most laps. I think it was he led the most laps at Vegas, was up there. Laps. And then ended up finishing third, and then Ross finished second. I mean, based on the trends, it appears that Ross is very likely to win this next race at Atlanta. If trends work the way that Larry Mack wants them to work, that's how it's going to go. But I just think I've been impressed by both Trackhouse, Ross Chastain for getting it to really getting it together and finding a way to keep the car together and finding the limits. So I think
I totally agree with you. And you know, like you said, we don't want to skip over the Xfinity race, but that's a really great point. I think you're seeing a lot of parity. You know, look at the top three that, you know, finishing order from Phoenix. You got three guys that have never won a cup race before and are getting really close. So I think you're going to see a lot of comers and goers this entire season. And I think it's lent itself to some really, really good racing to start out with. I've always thought going into the West Coast swing, we would way better understand where everybody was at as a whole and how this racing was going to be, because there were three very different dynamic tracks. And I thought we saw three great races.
Yeah, absolutely. I
would agree. Good.
So speaking on the Xfinity race, what do you guys think?
Yeah, let's dive
I was in the stands. I went up and hung out with my agent Philip and one of my sponsors that were on the car. So we sat in the shade. It was quite toasty, and it really wasn't that hot. It was pretty hot in the sun. So got to sit in the shade, pretty much right in the center of three and four, maybe like before the restart zone. So got to see a lot of good racing there. What'd you guys think?
I enjoyed it. The early on in the race, we had a couple feuds a brewing. Of course, there's a whole thing with Ty Gibbs and Ryan Sieg. Nothing happened there, which I think everybody was expecting.
They were laughing with each other pre-race. So I think whatever was there last week.
Well, we talked about last
gone.
Week. Yeah, we talked about last week. So I wanted to kind of cap it off. Nothing happened there. Probably won't be anything that happens unless they happen to be banking their doors off of each other at Martinsville or something later in the year.
I just think it's so funny that whenever there is some type of feud that happens, those two drivers inevitably either in the garage with their haulers, or they qualify right next to each other and they have to ride in the truck around. Like, it's inevitable. It happens wild. All the time. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Clint Boyer and Jeff Gordon, the next week they finish 1-2.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so
I love
fun.
It. I think it's
Joey
a beautiful...
and Martin. They battled for the win at Homestead.
Yeah.
In 2017, yep. 2018, one of those years.
He might have, what was it? He might have won the battle, but he ain't gonna win the dang war.
Oh man.
So we had,
I will say that being in the stands, and I think this is the first race that I've watched in the stands. Being in the stands, you watch the race so different than when you watch on TV. You know, pretty much the entire race I was following, I was listening to Ryan Ellis. He's a good buddy of mine. We play Warzone, Call of Duty. He started to stream a little bit, but I listened to him and kind of watched his march up through the field and, you know, started in the 30s and ended up finishing 13th. It's always cool to see, you know, those type of stories that don't necessarily get told a whole lot on TV. It's cool to see the, like I said, the comers and goers. And I honestly didn't really pay much attention to the battle at the front. I know the first stage was really cool seeing Trevor Bain lead and him and I think it was Gregson that was battling for that stage win. And then I guess he kind of got mired in traffic and could never get back up there. But it's always cool to see when you go to the racetrack and can watch the entire picture unfold. What do you think, Josh?
Yeah.
I spent the first 3 weeks this year traveling and following the NASCAR circuits from track to track. And I will say there is something quite telling about the difference both of being able to see the full picture, knowing what's going on in the race, and being able to follow the stories one by one. That you don't get when you're watching the broadcast. Like the Coliseum was one of those tracks that I was like, this was awesome, it was great, there were so many side-by-side battles. And then I hop on Twitter after the race and there was like a weird sentiment that I didn't quite understand, and it came down to the fact that all the camera angles were too narrow and you didn't see the full picture. Yeah. And a track that should be capable of literally showing, you could do a wide shot of the track and a lot of people would just be satisfied with a wide shot like it's a football stadium.
I would have loved if it was like the classic like local short track where there's one camera. Mm-hmm. Obviously you'd have multiple cameras for replays, but there's one camera that just follows the cars around the track. I love that. Whenever I watch a race on iRacing, that's always what I do. I just put a camera all at the top of the grandstands and I just watch them like that.
I mean, I literally kind of had that camera angle. I was at the top of the thing. I was very top of the Coliseum looking at it all go around. And I would say it's definitely, I agree with you, Garrett, though, that you get to follow one person. Like for me, when I was at Auto Club, I was in your pit box the whole time, Garrett. And there was something about seeing every little thing happening on track. Hoping, you know, okay, will this caution come out before we end up getting inevitably caught by the leaders? Mm-hmm. Like, can all this work out? And following that, getting the one time we needed the lucky dog. It's just, you get to see these little stories develop and watch it all go through that, I mean, you're not going to get with just a ticker because it's not necessarily the most sexy story to talk about. You know, Garrett's day of getting his career best finish. It's not a 20th. It's a great finish, but it's not going to be what gets the numbers for the broadcast. So it's really cool when you're there being able to see that sort of stuff and being able to celebrate and be a part of that whole action that I just don't think you get when you're watching on the broadcast. So.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I can't watch races anymore if I'm not in a race. I can't watch races anymore without having a radio or if I'm at home in NASCAR app. I literally like any time last year that I was out of the car, which really wasn't that much. I ran 26 cup races, but I've got two phones. I have my regular phone and like a business/streaming phone that whenever I go and stream on the road, I use that phone. So I've got those two devices. I have my iPad. So I always have three radio feeds at any given time. I've got the iPad, which has a time in scoring. And I'm watching the broadcast on TV if I'm at home. That's just my setup. It's I just feel like setup. I have like a command center. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it's cool. Like, again, you can see the whole picture. You can see how everything goes.
Now, I'm very curious with that being said, have you ever subscribed to F1 TV?
Yes, I have.
I feel like
best
F1
service on the planet.
Yes.
It's incredible. Bar none,
F1 TV is the best service for following races on the planet.
I would say, I would argue for any sport, it's the best TV subscription.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's very in-depth. I think motorsports lends itself to having access like no other. Like, you don't get to listen to the play calls when you watch football. Like, you don't get to listen to the...
I don't know if you would even want to, because every team has different playbooks and, like, they all have code words.
I agree with that, but I would enjoy, because not a lot of people know that, like, there's certain players that have radio communication with whoever it is. And I don't think it would be something that I would want to listen to, like, all the time, but it would be interesting to see what is said and what kind of calls and what, like, when they talk to the quarterback, like what they're saying and things like that.
I have an option. But, that'd be good.
Again, it's motorsports lends that, like, you have that access that you don't have in other sports.
And yeah, motorsports gives that on the live feed. I know NFL for a while, they had a really powerful replay utility where you could actually go and filter like a New York Giants passes for over 70 yards that result in touchdown. And it would give you literally plays from the New York Giants that match that criteria, and you could do all that. And it was really cool to see that for like statistics. But as far as like a live experience, there's nothing bar none that I've ever seen that matches it. And NASCAR, if you're listening and you plan to put in-car cameras on every car,
I think they are.
I do strongly encourage you to look at the F1 TV model and see how you can mimic it. If you need help setting it up, let me know. Call me. I know how to make a website. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that I so badly wish that we had. You know, not only for our sponsors, but for our fans. You know, we don't get on TV, and I get it. Like, you know, they're not going to show the battle for 30th, 25th, you know, stuff like that. Oftentimes it's a lot kind of better story than what's going on at the front, to be honest. I mean, we are driving our guts out back there sometimes. But you know, you look at you know, the IndyCar guys, I think, don't the IndyCar guys all have in-car cameras?
I don't know if they do. If they do, well, I think they all do.
Because I know Cody and like Connor Daly and some of those guys will post like their practices or their testing or stuff like that. So I know that they have that capability. I don't think they're
hooked in to the broadcast. Okay. Their broadcast cameras are separate from, gotcha. I think they have telemetry cameras that are hooked into their telemetry systems and all that.
Gotcha.
That NASCAR doesn't seem to want to let you guys have, but I think would be really cool if they did.
It's more a broadcast deal because, you know, those in-car cameras are big time, you know, basically it's TV time moneymakers. But I do think that there is some type of platform out there, such as it could be a F1 TV like subscription service with NASCAR, where hey, you pay X amount of dollars, you can get any in-car camera that you want. And I guarantee, I know that, you know, my fans personally, for the most part, as long as it wasn't stupid expensive, would 100% take that. And I would want to do that because I would love to go back and watch my in-car footage and critique my own self. I mean, I'd love to go do that.
We've talked about it before where it'd be so cool to be able to have, you know, everybody has access to everybody's in-car footage. And, you know, you could be like, hey guys, we're going to watch my in-car footage from this last weekend, like on your Twitch stream.
Yes.
You know, being able to have that kind of access would be really cool. So drivers could like be like, oh, this is what I was thinking here. Oh, here's where I got a giant wind gust and I almost wrecked, or, you know, whatever.
I mean, that's certainly a case for it. I mean, just as a regular fan though, there have been numerous times where I've gone on F1 and literally watched a start or like a wreck that's happened from every in-car camera on the entire grid, just to see like how each driver reacted differently to what was happening in that scenario. And it fascinates me to see how, you know, one guy is just full throttle the entire time, just weaving through it, whereas another guy is laying off, trying to avoid it, this and that, and looking to his right, looking to his left, this, and it's just, there's so much there content wise for every single person, and every car is a tripod with multiple places to mount a camera. why aren't we taking advantage of that now? We live in a world where it's so easy to get micro cameras.
On top of that, I remember watching the last race last year of F1 and watching Max is on board, watching Lewis is on board. You could see they switched to the camera that's in front of the steering wheel, and you can see Max's reaction as he's getting out of the car. He's super excited. And then you go and watch Lewis's, and he sits in the car, and he's, you know, he's obviously dejected because of what just happened. And you see a lot more emotion from the drivers that way.
That's a good point.
Just a win-win all around.
That's a really good point. So Xfinity, Noah Gragson takes the win. He's been dominant takes this season. Not a whole lot happened in the race. I know Riley Herbst, I think, had brake failure. Ty Gibbs got spun out, and he had to make his way back to the front. Other than that, did you guys see anything pressing from that race?
There was some weird pit stop stuff near the end where, like, a lot of teams, like, I don't know, maybe I missed something, but, like, Noah Gragson lapped up to, like, 10th place after the last cycle of pit stops.
So that's weird. It was, both races had very, very long green flag runs, and it was kind of cool to see that dynamic again. Right, I was watching Ryan Ellis. He stayed out the entire pit cycle and actually got up to second. Ryan Sieg ended up was first, and then Ryan pitted, and I think he actually had a better car than where he ended up. I think he actually ended up 16th, not 13th, but you know, it was cool to see that. And yeah, I agree. I think he lapped up to like 10th or whatever it was because there were so many guys that stayed out hoping for that caution.
Oh. Yeah, so that might be true.
I think that that's kind of.
Yeah, he pitted very early. I think he had to pit early because they had some sort of issue that pit early. I forget what it was.
Yeah.
Real quick, I did want to mention, because we didn't mention this, Taylor Gray won the ARCA race, and that was an incredibly emotional win because of the hauler accident that had happened the Wednesday prior to, and unfortunately took the life of the hauler driver. Taylor Gray was able to come back and win the race after that. It all happened, same team. And Rajah Caruth had an incredibly strong run. He almost won that race. And Daniel Dye had a really strong start to his season. So those were the couple of notes from the ARCA race that I saw.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. That was really cool to see.
Yeah.
Any
cup stuff?
Did we have anything cup-wise before we got into the next topic?
I enjoyed the race. It was a little single groovy. It obviously wasn't like as action-packed as Fontana or Las Vegas, but it wasn't a bad race. You know, I enjoyed it. There was some
Colleague Racing. This isn't from the Cup race, but Colleague Racing lost its appeal and will for the loose wheel at Daytona. Corey LaJoie's team have now also they got a penalty, which I believe they will probably also appeal. I wouldn't be shocked from the wheel that came off or got destroyed or something like that. I don't know what happened with the race from the Phoenix race. And then Zane Smith, as really short, lug nuts, was a big talking point over the last week because Zane Smith had his win or had his second place cucumbered from him. Because his lug nut, I actually think I have one legal and one illegal lug nut here. Basically, the threads, this is a legal one, on his did not go all the way to the top. So, and so his second place finish was completely taken away from him, and it appears to be a supplier issue. That is plaguing both the Xfinity and Truck Series garage right now.
I was surprised to learn that the teams have to buy. I always assumed NASCAR just supplied them like they do with like tires. But I mean, obviously, they have to buy the tires too.
That's interesting, and it's interesting that he kind of, talked about that. I mean, obviously, they feel like that they were wronged, and if it's a supplier issue, I don't know anything about it. Cup Series cars, we only have one lug nut now, so not my problem, but it is definitely interesting to see, for sure.
Yeah, it's very Bob Hockers posted the picture of the engineering drawing for the specs that those are laid out to be, and it's very It's very, it's open-ended, I'll say the least. The only requirement for the threads is that it's a through, the threads have to go through the whole thing. But you can make the argument that those threads do go through the whole thing.
Well, they don't go all the way to the top. Not according to NASCAR. It is a, so the way it's supposed to be is the thread is supposed to go all the way to the top. Right. And it did not go all the way to the top. It was,
right, but that's not what through threads mean, though, in an engineering standpoint.
Yeah. We could talk about lug nuts all day long.
We could.
Or we could talk about Formula One, which starts this weekend.
I think we should talk about Formula One. I actually was so disappointed to wake up this morning and it only be Wednesday because it is the triumphant return to Formula One this weekend. Josh, where are they at? I don't even know where they're at.
They're in Bahrain.
That's what I thought so.
Which Haas is now going to have two incredible storylines. You had the 2021 or 2020 crash of Romain Grosjean that nearly killed him and now gave him the name of the Phoenix, the man who crawled out of fire. There we go. I can say it. Mm-hmm. And now Kevin Magnussen has been elected as the driver that is replacing Nikita Mazepin in the second seat for Haas. And all I know is Gunter has replaced all of his doors with steel plated doors so that Kevin Magnussen can no longer Hulk smash the doors. So
here's the question. Is Haas F1 team, are they going to be rock stars or wankers this year?
they look, I mean, who knows? It's testing, who knows? But according to a lot of people in the paddock and, you know, many, you know, I wouldn't say experts, but journalists who have watched F1 for a long time, the Haas is looking pretty good. I mean, who knows who was sandbagging and testing? They appear to have about the fifth or sixth best car.
Yeah. Go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, you don't end up first and second overall on testing time, regardless.
Were they first and second?
Yes. So they were first on day one or day two and second on day three.
Okay.
And not that those weren't both Kevin Magnussen.
That's what I was asking. How was Mick?
Mick was second on day three, and Kevin was first on day two. And mind you, that was his first day back in a Formula One car in over a year. So
yeah, I was gonna say that. I think that's just a testament to how good, you know, for the most part, anybody who drives Formula One, but like, you know, Magnussen in general, like he's always had pace, he's always had speed, he's always been a solid driver. And I think it was really cool and a cool story for F1 in general for him to hop in and then just immediately be fast. I thought that was really sweet.
Not to mention, he probably wasn't in like F1 shape. He's obviously in great shape because he's racing. Mm-hmm. I think he was going to race in WEC this year, but F1 obviously probably pulls a lot more G-forces.
How about the weird shade that, who was it that tweeted? Somebody, one of the IndyCar guys were just like, he went from like back of the grid on. Was he being serious?
I don't know what that is. Marcus Ericsson. Marcus Ericsson. Who was also a Formula One driver previously. Yeah. Tweeted out and said, it's funny how Kevin Magnussen was at the back. What was it? He was at the back of the grid during his IndyCar testing. Yeah. I think he replaced, I don't know who did he step in for?
I couldn't tell you.
In IndyCar for testing, and then immediately went out and went fastest in Formula One testing.
Yeah.
A lot of the F1 fans reacted poorly to it.
But I mean, okay, I get that. But then let's go the opposite, the reverse. Grosjean stepped out of a car that was on the back of the grid and stepped into, I wouldn't say a top tier IndyCar with,
he's been,
you know,
fast.
Dale Coyne and Rick Ware Racing. He podiumed like three times last year and really could have won a couple races had some situations been different. So, I mean, I just think those guys, any of those guys, I think for the most part are just so incredibly talented. And like, I was watching Drive to Survive. I know we're going to talk about that later, but just watching like the footage from qualifying in an F1 car is like, oh my gosh, inject that into my veins.
It's so awesome.
It on the edge, like that is so incredible to watch. Sparks flying, like it's just so cool. I can't wait for this weekend.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. So why don't we just, we'll boot up Drive to Survive to right now, because
let's do it. It
is on topic.
So before
who here finished
that,
it all?
I haven't. I am on like episode 6. I think I'm in getting into 7.
AJ?
I'm on episode 5. It? I finished whatever the Haas Nikita episode was the last one I watched.
Okay, so before we get into that, real quick, who are your picks, or who's your pick, each of you, to win this weekend?
Charles Leclerc.
Really?
I think Ferrari is going to be the ones to beat this weekend. Okay. I think Mercedes is going to have some sort of issues when you introduce a radical new design, like they have with the gill pods, is what I've called them, because they look like fish gills. Which we should also talk about that. The fact that they have, in fact, basically eliminated the side pod off of a Formula One car. For now. It's been determined legal that... I'll get into the mirrors and stuff like that, but all that's been determined legal. But I think they're going to have cooling issues at a very hot track like Bahrain, and I think they're going to not be able to perform where they want to. And I think Red Bull is not going to be quite at their form, because they probably put too much effort into 2021 to win the world championship.
That's
and
fair.
they were unfocused for the 2022 regulations.
Okay. AJ?
My brain says Red Bull, because I just think, I'm kind of a Red Bull fanboy, to be honest, but I always have been. My heart wants Haas, because Haas is kind of, they've had a rough time the past few years. Okay. And, you know, they're an American team, so you got to cheer them on.
Man, wouldn't that be a story?
Oh my God. Be such a, that'd be insane.
Imagine being Nikita. Just you fund this incredibly like new car, and then immediately lose your ride.
Oh boy.
Yep.
Sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
So I think Red Bull. Lewis Hamilton said that Mercedes wasn't gonna be at race winning pace. But they say that every year.
They say that every year.
Yeah.
I think Carlos Sainz.
This is a whole totally
that.
Different car, so who knows?
That's true.
When the last new car came out, or whenever Mercedes showed up, like, they weren't very good. So who knows? Obviously,
I'm gonna go ahead and pick George Russell. I think. I think he's gonna get the dub. Yep. I think he's gonna step on them. Hey, he's green. He's, you know,
he's hungry.
He's excited. He's hungry. I think he's gonna.
Yeah. He's like, oh my gosh.
Plus, he's got unfinished business at Bahrain. Was
he does?
So was it this configuration, or was it the
It was the secure oval ish okay. with less turns that he gotcha. Did race on.
It was a gotcha. Lovely track. I love that.
So, Drive to Survive.
Yes,
you guys. So, Josh, you finished it. AJ, have you?
I'm 5 episodes in.
Okay,
I finished it. Basically, it started. Me
no
and my girlfriend.
No spoilers.
I won't spoil. I promise.
Well, you can't.
I don't know what happens.
It's already.
There's a fake drama in there,
guys.
But no.
I avoided social media all year last year to not get spoilers. Okay, don't do it to me now.
I didn't watch a single F1 race so I could watch Drive to Survive.
Oh my gosh!
Said nobody ever.
It started basically Friday. Me and my girlfriend immediately got home from work. And just put it on and started watching. I think we got 4 episodes done in one day. Then Saturday we watched 5, and then Sunday we finished up like our last episode. And all I can say is Drive to Survive is the reason why Formula One is coming to America as
Partially.
Much as it is. I would say for the most part, it's the reason why it's resurging.
60%.
I'd say about 90.
Okay.
Because
I'm going to go in between. I'm going to say 75.
Thank you. Thank you, middle ground. Why don't you just go a dollar above? Like it's the price is right. Yeah.
I'll do 61%.
I think so. I guess we don't have to debate an output. We'll have a different episode.
Well, we can
debate.
Well,
I think a lot of it is also just like a snowball effect where it's starting to get popular and then people start noticing it more. Obviously, they have a killer social media game. I think they're like, I think those are social media, like, is the fastest growing social media for any sport. Don't quote me on that, but I think I heard that.
No, I agree, because their content is next level. I mean, their content, I think what F1 does with their drivers and some of like the goofy, quirky things that they do, yep, to kind of fill. I find myself sometimes looking at that stuff more than like the race content, because for the most part, I know what happens in qualifying. I love, one thing that I love about the F1 app is the highlights from all the, yes, practices and qualifyings.
And they upload them like
immediately
like, after,
like an hour later.
It's awesome.
So I'll be scrolling on the F1 app, because oftentimes I'll wake up for the race, but normally I won't wake up for like practice, and I'll catch probably usually the end of qualifying. But yeah, I'll like, if I miss a practice session or two practice sessions, I'll just go on the app, click the results, and then there'll be like a highlight page. I think that is so valuable, because that's just how our generations, that's how we consume content.
Yes, very quickly.
I will say F1 also has something that NASCAR needs to implement so badly.
Okay.
They have in the F1 app the ability to have all of timing and scoring, telemetry data, all of that replayed. So you can actually watch the race,
oh, wow,
after the fact and play the telemetry at the same time as it. So you can actually feel like you're watching it live.
Oh, yeah, it would be very useful for now. I've done wanted that for a while.
Multiple times. And it's so incredible when I'm on the West Coast. I'm about the worst freaking time zone in the entire world to try and watch any Formula One, because even when I am watching it and it's in North America, I'm having to get up at 7 a.m. to watch it. So everywhere else, it's middle of the night or middle of work day. So, yeah.
I totally agree with that. Thoughts, AJ, on the season so far? What do you think?
On the Drive to Survive season?
Drive to Survive, yep.
I was talking to Parker about it the other day. They play up stuff so much. I don't want to spoil it, but there's kind of like a Daniel Ricciardo Lando thing that goes on, and you could tell like Daniel and Lando are like pretty good buddies, and like Netflix is like, they're like playing dramatic music when like Lando, when Daniel makes a joke, or like they'll take like snippets of audio and like cut them together, and you could totally tell they're cut together, and like this guy totally didn't just say that. It's like totally taken out of context, but they do it so well that I almost don't care.
It's very well produced.
Yeah.
But didn't they do that last year? They kind of like made like a science Norris thing that really wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's what put butts in the seats. That's just how it goes.
They do it so well that I'm cool with it.
I enjoy it. I don't watch it so much like as, okay, well, this is the reality of the situation. Like, mm-hmm, I watch it for the entertainment value.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's why I don't mind it, because like I just like when what was the Haas episode? Have you been to the Haas episode yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that episode when, and this is like, it's not a spoiler, but I mean, everybody knows what happened. When it rained at the end of the Russian Grand Prix, and Nikita put on rain tires, and like the whole drama of him like unlapping himself and like the whole thing. It was just like, okay, this is kind of cheesy, but it was entertaining. Like, so I don't mind it. One thing that I absolutely love about Drive to Survive is the soundtrack. Like, it's my type. It's like that synth step type, you know, kind of like early 90s, late 80s, like, you know, driving bass. Like, I just love that music. It reminds me of like Dr. Disrespect when I was watching him on Twitch. It's like that type.
That's a very good
and it's
point.
Just like, it's BA.
Yeah, it's incredible what they do, especially with the kind of turnaround time they have on that.
Yeah.
Those kind of like documentary shows, especially with the kind of editing that they do on that, is insane. This season, they actually have different editors for every episode.
Okay. Interesting.
I felt like I noticed that a little too much. I wish they would go back to a single producer and editor for each episode, but I also understand they're probably under such a tight timeline that, and they can't, they're probably COVID policies and stuff like that. They can't all work in the same office space.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense.
And again, another thing, I love Drive to Survive. I love it. But probably one of the funniest parts and probably my favorite part so far is when Lewis Hamilton got like a 10-second penalty for the Silverstone thing.
Oh my God.
And
yes.
Somebody timed it and it was like over 30 seconds or something. Like,
oh my God.
He stops at a pit box and then this 10-second penalty starts. And then there's like another like minute and
they
a half like, of content. And then he,
they had
then
the
he
gun,
pulls out
they're
the
like
box.
Waiting. That I remember that. Yes. They're like waiting. They were like, all right, let's go, let's go. And it's like, Lewis, you can just see him like shaking his head. It's like, all right, all right. There you go.
Oh my gosh. It's such, I have such a good idea. We take that same sequence, but we just loop it for 10 hours. So Lewis is stuck in his box for 10 hours.
Perfect.
There was one thing that really caught me off guard with the editing itself. I think it was in between episode 2 and 3 when they do both episodes on Monaco. And like we see how Monaco ends. Mm. And then the next episode, it's like, back to Monaco, but yeah. It's now at Max Verstappen's point of view. And yeah. It's just like a really confusing set of sequences that I probably could have been done a little bit better, if not just put an episode between them. So it didn't feel like we were watching Monaco twice.
I agree with that.
But that was my only real like major complaint from this season. Other than that, I think it's one of the best things that's ever been done for motorsports ever in general.
I agree.
Rising tides rises all boats. So as F1 has success, we should see more success for NASCAR, IndyCar, and all motorsports around
Absolutely.
The world. So
totally agree. This next topic, 24 hours of Sebring this weekend. I'm going to let you guys
divide that by two.
You, huh? Oh, did you say 24 hours?
Yes.
I literally read it and I said 24. What's wrong with me?
I saw you looking at it.
I got 24 hours on the brain. So 12 hours Sebring. I'm going to let you guys talk about this because other than like the fact that Rickway Racing has an IMSA team and we're going to run an Acura at all the sprint races with Ryan Eversley and Aiden Reed, who's one of my engineers on my cup car. I don't know a whole lot about it. So
same. I can't keep up with the F1 news, the NASCAR news. So like fitting another motorsport into it is very hard. But sports car racing is awesome.
That's great.
I got iRacing originally for NASCAR, but I end up racing more sports cars than anything else because
it's
so much fun.
It's just, it's so like endurance racing. And I know we've talked about this before, but like I so badly want to go run a real life IMSA endurance race because it's just like doing it on iRacing. It hits different. Mm-hmm. And I really want to do that. And plus, those sports cars are so awesome. Like
they're incredible.
I mean, they're
pieces
just
pieces of machinery.
I mean, they're so close to street cars, but they're just beefed up. And like, I didn't used to be a car guy, and I've turned into one. And one of the coolest things going to like Mid Ohio or Road America when I was running Xfinity is seeing like all the Trans Am cars and like mm-hmm. all of the different like road racing series. And like, they're such cool cars.
Yeah. They're pretty incredible.
I love prototype cars. One of my favorite races in the entire world is the 24 Hours of Le Mans. I try to watch that every single year. Just because of all the different things. I will say for those who don't know, Sebring is on a former airport. So they do race down a runway, which is one of my favorite views of all of motorsports, is seeing a prototype car fly down an airport runway and just throw it into a turn. I'm remembering that right. That is Sebring, right?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Okay, all right. This would be real awkward.
I couldn't tell you.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Isn't Sebring
pretty
flat?
Something to do with, it's some sort of airport that had to do with World War II, but that doesn't make any sense because it's in Florida, I think, but...
Yes, Garrett, Sebring is incredibly flat. That
okay.
is, it is the Florida of racetracks.
Okay.
There is, and it is in Florida if I remember right. So,
yeah.
Yes, it is very flat. You can see most of the action, will be, so there's some on IMSA TV on Thursday and Friday. Also Peacock, if you want to watch the Alan J. Automotive Network 120 Michelin Pilot Challenge. That'll be on Friday on Peacock. And then it looks like the opening hours, or the entire 12 hours of Sebring will be on Peacock. Other than that, you can watch some of it on IMSA 12 or on IMSA TV outside of the United States, and then on USA, which is where Parker, if you want more of Parker talking and you are not satisfied with Garrett's replacement, A, drop us an email. We'll know to cut Garrett off. We don't need him around anymore.
No, Garrett's replacing Parker permanently.
This is going to be your biggest show ever.
Okay.
Mark my words. I'm coming
okay.
to Parker.
Okay. But if you want more Parker content.
I think we should have Parker and Garrett do the podcast like with each other.
Really?
Oh, so we just replace
like
you
a head
guys.
To head?
It's just going to be me and Parker, and then you guys are fired.
Well, like you guys are on the same microphone, and like you have to pair it. It's like the race car driver corner.
Yeah,
like,
you guys can just fly to
wherever you live every week.
You sit it like a small narrow camera angle, so you guys got to be like shoulder to shoulder around the microphone,
just huddling around the microphone.
it's the driver's corner. That's what we call it.
The driver's corner. Yeah, we can have it in like a broom closet or something.
Yes.
Be the driver's closet.
There you go.
Absolutely.
One more thing about Sebring. It is a very fun track. I suggest you go drive it on. I'm sure you have driven before on iRacing, Garrett. You just may not remember.
I haven't actually, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I haven't even.
It's a very fun track. It's very unique. It's flat, but there's so many unique corners on it, especially the last corner. It's blind. It's like a giant U-turn corner that's blind, and there's walls on both sides on exit. And it's very sketch, very bumpy as well. The bumps can throw your car out of whack.
Yeah, it's like so you know at an airport, Garrett, where they have like big concrete slabs.
Oh yeah,
you go boom, boom, boom as you're going over them. So that's
what the racetrack service
is. If you're racing like an open wheel series with an open setup and the car's low enough, like suspension wise, it'll just bottom out.
You'll porpoise.
Yeah, you'll porpoise for sure.
That's a big F1 term nowadays.
Yeah.
That stole it from us. What the heck?
So I guess Atlanta is a super speedway now? Question mark.
We have a double white line and red line rule now, so
we're gonna see.
Oh, we'll get to that.
It's gonna be interesting.
That's what I'm leading to.
My brain errors out every time I try to think of a mile and a half track as a super speedway, because I feel like we've heard them try and do this so many times in the last 3 years with packages to try and make the mile and a half super speedways. And that always only really works for restarts. And then by like two or three laps afterwards, it's pretty much single file or strung out. So I'm very curious, now they're reconfiguring a track to try and make a super speedway.
And they're bringing in a super speedway package, specific package. So
yeah, I thought it was the 550 package that they were originally going to bring.
It's the same one they used at Daytona.
Okay.
From what I read.
So yeah. My brain is trying to comprehend that.
Well, there's way more banking now.
4 degrees more.
So Atlanta already had a lot of banking to begin with. So the biggest thing for me, have you seen any pictures, Josh,
of the Tesla?
Yes.
There? It's very banked.
Yes. Sorry, Gary. I want to hear what Garrett wants to say about this.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So the one thing that I see with this deal is the track is going to be so much more narrow than any super speedway that we've been to. And like, you know, in the corners, it's not like it kind of widens out or anything like that. It's like it does. Well, the problem is it widens out on the straightaways and then narrows up for the corners. So it's going to be the opposite of, you know, like a normal super speedway. I think that the trucks for sure, and probably Xfinity cars, but trucks for sure will be super speedway racing. I think that there's no doubt in my mind. As long as the track has grip, which it seems like it was. When I talked to Ross, he said that they were wide open the entire time in the Cup Series. But I just have this sneaking feeling that handling is going to come into play more in the Cup cars than they do for the Xfinity and the trucks. That's just what my gut feeling says. It was interesting to see the eNASCAR race last night, how they had to lift all the way out of the gas and back to it.
That was
the
old
corner.
That was the old Atlanta, though. So that's more of a comparison of what the old Atlanta was. They did not run New Atlanta for eNASCAR.
Oh, they didn't?
No. Which,
are you sure?
I'm 100% positive. And
it was the old Atlanta?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, new Atlanta's not an iRace.
I think it's just the package that they have makes it so that they can run
in Yeah, group. On iRacing, yeah, I mean, that's always been
we talked to our drivers about it beforehand, Garrett, to ask him about it, and they said we're running old Atlanta. So,
iRacing's weird where I don't know why, but
I guess I wasn't paying attention.
Like even trucks, Xfinity, like none of them get like stretched out. You're always packed up no matter what. So it's very, it can be misleading sometimes.
I got you.
I don't know if it's dirty air or what.
But. Either way, I do think that, we're probably gonna find out after practice. So it's one of those, you know, there's so many unknowns, especially in the Cup Series this year with this next gen car. And I think that there's going to be more unknowns here than we have, because now all of a sudden you have no idea what the car is going to do and you have no idea what the track's going to be like. So I think it's going to be a really interesting and entertaining weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at the photos of the test that they had, it looks like you can go about three wide comfortably in the corners. But I probably wouldn't do anything more than that. It is pretty thin, not going to lie.
I'm hesitant. I'm excited. I really want it to work out, but I just don't know if there's a way with the quad oval setup, being able to maintain three wide through the quad oval seems pretty difficult.
And they shrunk the outside walls in on the oval.
So I think it's going to be a very interesting comparison. Now, Garrett, was Atlanta your home track on the circuit?
They did use the old Atlanta. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, they didn't really race like they did.
But did they use did they use the Super Speedway package?
No, I don't think so. That's the weird thing.
Wow.
I think
I can't believe it stayed packed up like it did then. Wild.
I wish wouldn't have otherwise.
The first run they were running against the wall single file. And I was like, my goodness, this looks
That's
insane.
So interesting. So you mentioned Atlanta Motor Speedway is my home track. I am like Martin Truex Jr. I have about 60,000 home tracks.
Okay.
Pocono's a home track because I'm from Pennsylvania. Technically, when I was running Xfinity, Mid-Ohio was the track that was closest to my hometown of Ligonier.
Wow.
Kentucky felt like a home track because I basically, you know, grew up there. I never lived there, but I kind of grew up there during the summer times and stuff like that because all my family's there. And then Atlanta is where I started my racing career. So I've got a bunch of home tracks. Atlanta is a very special place for me. I started racing when I was 15 in Bandoleros and ran the quarter mile racetrack there and ran legend cars for years. My very first race I ever went to was Dover, but the first time that I ever got into a suite and into the pits was Atlanta. The first race actually that I went to there was the year that they ran the truck series. We watched the truck series race, and it was the last year, I believe, of the IROC series. So we got to watch an IROC series race there. So
nice.
And then throughout the years, like when you win a championship in Bandoleros and Legend Cars, you get to be introduced on the stage before the cup race, and then you get pit passes and you get to go in the suite. So we got to do that a few times. Atlanta's always been a special place for me. I made my NASCAR series debut in the Mike Mittler 63 truck in 2015. Atlanta has always been I'm not going to be able to run it this week because David Reagan is running it, but Atlanta has always been my all-time favorite racetrack since I got into NASCAR. So I'm guessing it's probably going to change now, but Atlanta's always had a special place for me.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it races this weekend. I'm optimistic. Yeah. We'll see. One thing I do miss is I was thinking about how would these next gens drive on the old Atlanta? That would have been.
I think it's similar to what we saw at like California.
You know, but to your point, Josh. Just seeing how the bumps affected the next gen cars, Atlanta, it might not be, say, as rough, so to speak, but Atlanta porpoises.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I ever drove Atlanta, I felt like I was like like riding waves. Like it was like you drove off into the corner and you just feel like your car is just doing this the whole time. And there are some pretty big bumps, or there was some pretty big bumps. So I would have liked to see how the next gen car ran in Atlanta, but it would have been something else.
You got to see the Coke Series do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there you go.
Man, that was an entertaining race. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it was just a shame that we didn't get our closing finish that we deserved.
We got wrecked again. Yeah.
You know, we've only had one car finish outside the top 30 one time in the first three races.
Yeah.
I think one car has gone through a race, not gotten wrecked. So
you guys have had Junior Motorsports cars twice now. So thank you, Dale.
We'll send you the repair bill, Dale.
Well, so should we lead into our news topics? Because I have some that are about Atlanta.
Well, do we want to let Garrett go first, since we don't know what his news topic is?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I can go. It pertains to Atlanta. So I actually didn't know this until Bob Pockers tweeted a video of Ross Chastain talking about it. But apparently, after testing, they as in the driver council, the new driver council that I believe is headed up by Jeff Burton and Kyle Petty. Is that right? They have decided to move the wall off of four to make it a less aggressive angle coming off of that corner. So the way they widened it to the point where that double white line or yellow line, whatever they're using, is below where the grass came to. And so Ross was saying that in testing, they decided that, you know, they're going to be pushing pretty hard if it's going to be speedway racing. So they determined that if there was an issue and somebody got hooked into the wall, that angle was too aggressive. So they actually moved the wall to where it's just a less aggressive angle. So that'll be interesting to see coming off of turn four. I don't believe that they did it for turn one, but I know they did it for turn four.
Are you talking about the quad oval angle?
Yeah, coming out of turn four into the quad oval, that angle. I think that they made that less aggressive, which we've seen some really hard hits. You know, you look back at Charlotte, some of the All-Star races, you know, Texas, like we've seen some really, really hard hits there.
The one that instantly comes to my mind from Atlanta was when Brad Keselowski got flipped over by Carl Edwards. Though that was with a COT and it did have a wing, but it was still, it went from a straight to a 30 degree angle fairly quickly. Yep. And that resulted in a hit that could have very seriously injured a driver. But fortunately it didn't, just knocked the wind out of him. So,
yep, absolutely. So that was my news.
AJ,
couple other, news topics. Another one pertaining to Atlanta. There is going to be a choose role in effect for the cup race. Not sure about Xfinity and trucks. I'm assuming it's probably the same, but who knows?
That's the only super speedway that has a choose role. Talladega and Daytona don't have a choose role.
As of now, yes. I mean, it's like a mini super speedway, I guess. Who knows? We're going to find out this weekend, I guess, but. Also new rain rules for NASCAR. The teams can, when NASCAR declares the track wet, the teams can change to wet tires whenever they want. There isn't like a damp track effect now, according to NASCAR, where like they call a caution, everybody puts on wets, and then they wait to see how much it's going to rain. Teams can put on wets whenever they want. It didn't say they could take wets off whenever they want, but I'm assuming it's probably the same thing. The windshield ducts when it's raining must be covered now. So the front windshield duct has to be covered.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, it makes sense. You don't want water.
That does make sense.
And I guess NASCAR is, Bob Pockers didn't tweet the list, but I guess they're going to be putting out a list for like what parts have to be on the next gen if you're involved in a crash. He had posted the list from last year with the old car. I guess he hasn't gotten the new list yet, but there is going to be one. So we're waiting on that. I think that'll be interesting. My news. Rain flaps. The cup cars are going to have rain flaps. The next gen's basically a mud flap behind the tire whenever it's raining.
That was going to be my other news. So I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm sorry.
Yes. No, I'm so glad. And I hope that it mitigates some of the spray, because I was a part of the COTA race last year. When we couldn't see down the backstretch, and it was absolutely the most insane mayhem thing probably that I have ever done in a race car. I was going down the backstretch. Not only was I hydroplaning down the backstretch going about 150 miles an hour, but I could not see the car in front of me to the point where I actually got some damage from that crash with, I think it was Martin Truex Jr. and Cole Custer when he went under Cole and just about flipped, big fireball. But I lifted because my spotter ended up seeing it. And when I lifted, I passed the guy and I literally could not see the back of his car. We have a blinking light in the back of all the cars. I could not see that light until I was even with him, passing him.
Wow.
I mean, it was insane. So I hope that, you know, with your news that, that the, I guess the rain flaps are going to help mitigate that.
I think it's going to be pretty exciting. We've now had two major rain races, I would say. We had Xfinity at the Roval 2 years ago, and now the COTA race. And we're starting to kind of understand, I think, as an entire, you know, I say we, but mostly NASCAR is starting to understand what is the limits of where we can go, and finally realizing that we do need to actually make some plans for when rain racing happens, which is an important safety advancement. And I love the racing in the rain. I think it's probably one of my favorite types of racing. I know you probably hate it, Garrett.
I love it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, when I can see, it's so fun because we get to race around guys that we normally don't. Well, last year with the old gen car, we got to race around guys that we would not have been around whatsoever. And it was so much fun.
They, if anybody wants some really cool rain waste races to go back and watch, there's a rain race at Mid Ohio a couple years ago. I think Garrett, you might've been in it.
That was my very first rain race, 2016.
Oh, okay. There's also a really going to Road America. So
actually I've raced an oval race in the rain in a legend car at Charlotte.
Oh wow.
On the quarter mile. So
wow.
Yep.
That's pretty
that does sound very cool. Fun.
There now there is one little thing I do remember. I believe for this year they are now requiring two red blinking lights instead of one.
Yes.
That's news from a long time ago that I think most people have forgotten about now, but that is something that is happening.
Yep.
Would you guys like me to get into my news?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have all the things that we did not talk about F1, as we have not talked enough about it. I have four pieces of news.
This is basically an F1 podcast.
Yes. I have four pieces of news regarding F1. I will start with the two that matter the most to most of our audience for America. ESPN will be returning with commercial-free coverage thanks to Mother's Polishing Wax, I think is the company. They are going to go commercial free. So once again, we have an incredible precedent being set by F1 in America with commercial free coverage. Second, that was via Adam Stern. Second, there is final tentative talks between the Formula One FIA and some promoters to bring a Las Vegas Grand Prix in 2023. That is next year. We may be having a Las Vegas Grand Prix. And I do remember there was one a long time ago in Caesar's Palace's parking lot that was atrocious. I certainly hope we don't do that. I hope we have.
I believe there's still some remnants of the track that are like painted, like just paint lines or something down there.
I'll have to check that out next time.
I'm very
Vegas
excited. If that would be insane. That would be huge.
I want
Vegas
them to...
they can hold massive events, so they can hold an F1 event pretty well. There's all sorts of Vegas stuff going on. It'd be amazing.
Just imagine a street course going down the strip, like the That's actual nice. Strip.
If they can pull that off, that would be insane.
At night with all the buildings have all the lights on.
Oh my god.
Okay, FIA, if you're watching this broadcast,
which we know you are,
please yes.
So didn't they try this like years ago and it was like in the parking lot of like the Mirage or something like that?
It was the parking lot of Caesar's Palace.
And it was it was a massive fail.
It was a disaster. It was terrible. It wasn't anything.
Well, that tends to be I think it's happened before in other places where like they have a great idea and then it's like ends up just being a parking lot and it's like, okay, what are we doing here, guys?
I think I think this is a result of that was a result of former FIA and Formula One management. Now that Liberty Media is in control, we have Drive to Survive. I think the likelihood of legitimate street course in Las Vegas is a lot higher because there's a lot more money on the line. They saw the complete sellout of COTA, which isn't historically known as being the most exciting race on the F1 circuit. So I think a street course, a real street course, not what they're doing in Miami. Miami's a parking lot course that's kind of built for spec. I want to see a real street course in America. So
I agree.
Same. It's gonna be I cut you off from your news.
No. It's
all the ones.
It's okay. That's a really exciting piece of news. I will be there if it happens. Actually, I will. I don't have this written down. I have purchased my tickets for the Spanish Grand Prix, and I will be going. I wrote Garrett and asked him, "How does one get a hot pass for Formula One?" To which he gave me the great feedback of that is a great question. So does Lando?
I think you should start with James Davison. I think you'd have to get with him.
I'll reach out to James.
So I was gonna go with him to the Austin. I flew to Austin, it was after I think our Texas race last year, and I went to Austin, and I was there. And then I got a call that I had to do the Xfinity race that week at Kansas. So I was actually slotted to go because I've never been to one. And that happened. So,
man,
well, this year I'm going. I don't care how or however it happens. I'm going to an F1 race this year. Mark my words.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it.
So to your question. If I figure out how to get a podcast, I will let you know an F1 pit pass. I will let you know because I don't know myself.
I looked. There is ways to get it monetarily, but unfortunately, I don't have the capital gains to acquire two of those for me and my girlfriend. So we'll see.
I hear that.
Following up. F1 has announced a clarification of the wave around procedures following the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. It is now outlined. Actually, I want to read this word for word for what they said. They basically now says, if the clerk of the course considers it safe to do so, and the message lap cars may now overtake has been sent to all competitors using the official messaging system, all cars that have been lapped by the leader will be required to pass the cars on the lead lap and the safety car. So that is basically the nail in the coffin, that they did not want it to be a system where only a certain amount of cars that happened to be between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen got the wave around.
So now it's in stone.
It is in stone that in that situation that all lap cars need to go around. So yeah, there you go. And finally, via Motorsport Italy, Mercedes mirrors with their new gill design have been determined legal by the FIA. So okay. There was questions about whether or not Red Bull was going to protest those mirrors. It is not. So
we will see how everything shakes out.
That's the thing that happens probably every year in F1. A team will like innovate something new, which is really cool. I think one year it was brake ducts, another year it was the DAS system. I think one year Williams had something as well that people were upset. This is like a decade ago, but I think Parker's talked about it before, which other people have talked about it as well, where sometimes when these teams launch these protests, they aren't actually trying to get rid of the other team having it. It's more of like they're kind of setting a precedent. We're like, okay, the FIA is cool with that, so we're going to go do this other thing. Plus, it's just politics. You know, you try to get under your competitor's skin. You get better clarification where you launch a protest, you get a full report back instead of just like the rule book. So, you know, there's different loopholes you can find because of it, stuff like that.
I think it's one of the interesting things for this year that's different from previous years. It is now they can make rule changes in the middle of the year about the package and all of that. by 8 out of the 10 constructors. It is no longer by a unanimous vote. So wow. If 8 out of the 10 constructors believe that something is providing an unfair advantage, they can change the rule book that year and make something illegal. So just an interesting note. I mean, wow. I think yep. I'll be curious to see if that ends up being something of actually that's getting used this year. And whether or not, if it's like against Mercedes, if a team that has supplied by a Mercedes engine votes to go against them, do they suddenly lose out on a contract for a Mercedes engine, stuff like that, all those politics that come into play. So very curious.
Interesting. It's going to be a fun F1 season.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. So, well, guys, what else we got? Is that it? It's going to be like our longest show probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Big loud mouth.
quick sum up for eNASCAR. Colin Bowden, Derek Bordeaux had a strong showing yesterday. Derek was in the top 10. Colin was moving his way towards the front of the field and was performing fairly well. And
Colin moved towards the front of the field very quickly.
Yes, very quickly. And the results sheet show absolutely nothing of the sorts, with us finishing 35th and 36th, because a move that was very interesting.
Very unfortunate.
Took us
out. A driver was on the apron, and they spun, whether it was from Phantom neck code with somebody else, is who knows. And then other people got caught up. A certain somebody didn't hold their brakes, and then we ran into them.
Yep. So at the end of the day, that is the way sim racing goes. That happens in big time sim racing. Fortunately, the mistake that has happened, the driver admitted fault and is doing a personal suspension from Richmond. So they're taking.
Wow. That's news. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The driver who caused the wreck that took out both of our cars has said that they're not going to race in Richmond because of just how embarrassed that they felt.
Could we say that justice was served?
Oh my god. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
All right.
And on that note. hey, thank you guys podcast. For having me. This was a lot of fun. First time hosting this podcast. We made it through. This is gonna be the best show ever. So thanks guys.
I'm excited. Thank you for joining us. And the real reason why Parker was not here, he went into too much detail about Formula One specifications and was placed on a 1-week suspension because he made half of our audience fall asleep.